Welcome to the Future of Tourism Podcast. I'm David Peacock.
Stop owning your own content.
Young leaders are stepping up.
Bring everyone to the table
and imagine their world anew.
When we look for inspiration and ideas that will help us develop, manage, and optimize the success and sustainability of our own destinations, we often look to Europe. Their early work on over-tourism, more than a decade ago, pointed to the necessity for a much more engaged network of stakeholders within the destination. Take, for example, City DNA Knowledge Groups. Knowledge groups are expert teams of members who step up to tackle the most pressing challenges in tourism development and sustainability. Pablo Ortega Novillo is the head of promotion for the tourism offices in Catalonia in Spain. He's the co-chair of the City DNA Tourism Information Center's Knowledge Groups. Adil Abak is managing director of hospitality and products with Amsterdam and Partners. He started as the department manager for TICs in 2017. And moved on to head the department. He comes to tourism from the Hague University School of Business. Good afternoon, both of you. How are you? Where are you?
Fine.
What's it like? Pablo, you first.
Fine. Thank you, David, for being in this nice podcast. So here in Barcelona, it's quite mild. It's 26 degrees. It rained yesterday night, so it's quite comfortable after this summer. So it's good. Good. Happy to be here. Thank you.
So you're not getting the heat wave then that the south of Europe is getting?
No. It has been raining in Spain these days, so we are not in danger like in other regions of the Mediterranean area. Yeah.
What's the old saying? The rain in Spain stays mainly on the plain?
See. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It's a treasure. It's a treasure for us. Yeah.
Adil, how are you? Where are you? What's it like?
I'm really good, actually. I'm at the office at the moment in Amsterdam. We have rain as a treasure if you want some more, Pablo, because we have enough. It's about 20 degrees. It's perfect now. So nothing to complain.
Okay, listen, it's great to see you both. I want to talk to you today about knowledge groups. I think they're an amazing component to the City Destinations Alliance folio. So maybe we can start with an overview of knowledge groups. What are they? Why are they important? But then I want to drill into tourism information centers. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm biased. I mean, about a decade ago, I was sure tourism information centers were dead and vestigial. I had my eyes opened a couple times in presentations with you, Pablo, in the last couple of years, once in Tel Aviv and again in Sofia. But first of all, let's frame it. What are the knowledge groups? What are they about? Why are they useful?
Well, the knowledge groups are actually the core of the association. CityDNA is a network for more than 120 cities and regions in Europe. And it's based on the volunteer work of all its members. Then there are seven knowledge groups, as you said before, and each one is specialized in a specific area of the tourism industry. That is for city cards, for sustainability, for knowledge and research, marketing, and for tourist information centers, which is the one that I am honored to chair. And exactly what we do in our knowledge group is to work for our target. I mean, we are a working group of seven people representing the different countries and different regions of Europe. And it's a volunteer, 100%. We do it for goodwill because we love our industry and we love to help our colleagues as well. And each group is independent. It works on its own. We try to collaborate each other as well. We try to do some projects together. It's as well a challenge because some groups are quite veteran. So we have our own working way of doing things. And the association tries to reorder that in order to keep them all together. So in our case, in the Tourism Information Center's knowledge group, what we do is to rethink every day what are we doing in our business. Are we dead, as you said? Well, maybe not dead, but we need a boost of something, you know, some vitamins. And one of the things we do is every year, every day, our scope is to find new ways to adapt to reality and how the industry is changing and how to face that challenges. That's what we do, actually. We have these meetings. We meet every year in person in a different city every time. So we do this huge meeting. We call it the experts meeting. But as well, we do Zoom meetings online every 2 months. We make open debates. And even we do some research and new projects that we can we are going to take later on in order to help, in order to serve our members, all of them which are interested in adapting, in knowing the trends and so on.
Super. Thank you for that. So just to recap, 7 knowledge groups: marketing communications, city cards, meetings industry, research and insights, sustainability, and a new one called Trend Room.
Yeah.
And the tourism information centers. Okay. So coming over to tourism information centers, and I am guilty of being short-sighted and thinking that they were at their end until they were reinterpreted. Adil, you actually came straight out of school and went straight to work in tourism information centers in Amsterdam. So I ask you humbly, with an expectation of they're working well for you. How are they working? What's going on with TICs in Amsterdam?
Well, to be honest, not directly after school. So I had some experience in the hospitality sector, in theaters and in amusement park in the Netherlands. After that, I ended up at Amsterdam Partners. How is it? I think it's the most vibrant and the most adaptive division or sector I've worked in, because I talked about it sometimes with Pablo, but there's so many changes that have. We started with a regular TIC in a traditional office. We went from TIC offices to experience centers. We went from experience centers to brand stores. We went from brand stores to local community hubs. So there's a lot of changes in the sector because the demand changed and the need of the destination changed. So I think that it's the most vibrant sector I've ever worked in, to be honest. I think that's the right word for it.
Okay, so hang on. It's not your grandfather's tourism information center then?
No, it's not. Although, to be honest, I had great talks with colleagues that started off with the first tourist information center in Amsterdam, I think in the 80s or so, something like that. And to be honest, David, we started off like a box office. So you got your concert tickets there. It started when internet wasn't existing. So people were sleeping in front of the office to get the concert tickets for Bon Jovi, just to give you a glimpse of the golden years, you know? So I have the stories, I just don't have the experience.
Well, excellent. Okay, so what really shifted for me is this. I plug into the European Cities Marketing Knowledge Groups. They've informed so much work that we've done here in North America, and so much work I've done in particular. You know, guys know this story I've told both you. City Destination Alliance's early work on over tourism was completely essential to what we did here in Canada. We ran a region in Ontario, didn't have over tourism, but it had all of the symptoms of over tourism. It had a disaffected public who didn't know what tourism was, who didn't feel connected to either its efforts or its outcomes. So we started to look at that. So I in particular, have been watching knowledge groups for a while. But I will tell you that out of all of them, even the one I kept wondering, you know, how is this gonna go? Was TICs, because they are so vestigial. They go right back to the earliest days of tourism. At some point in their worst iteration, they became, you know, unmanaged brochure stops on highways along the way, and they were really horrible, and it was just a paperweight. But in Tel Aviv, you started to talk about the ability to understand the the consumer through TICs, and this was really important, Pablo. Then you blew my mind. So if I can put it in the simplest sense, we'll throw a couple graphics up here in the video when we finally produce it. You started with a classic, a slide of a classic TIC model, and it's bricks and mortar, you know, it's your information maps, guides, tickets, souvenirs, and that sort of speaks to our collective experience. We've seen really cool TICs around the world. And that's not to say in the last 40 years there haven't been absolutely cool TICs. And, you know, there's some great stuff going on. Corpus Christi in the States, Brett Ottering has completely redefined his tourism information centers. And that was part of what got me paying attention as well. But you took the classic TIC model and you threw up a slide in Sofia, Bulgaria, back in the spring, and it blew my mind. It was a knowledge navigation slide. It was about tourism information centers as the front edge of understanding the consumer. Can you sort of walk us through both of those things? And I will throw the slides up. So if you want to reference the classic TIC model and then the Constellation model, Pablo, I'll do that. So walk us through it.
Well, to be honest, the Constellation map, it was the graphic plasmation of something that was in our minds for years. So we in the knowledge group, we knew already that we were doing a lot of things. And this map was the way in order to show others that they don't know exactly what the TICs are doing actually, thanks to this image. So we did a catchy thing. So we put the what we already knew that you would answer in the audience about what did you think, because that's what we did actually in Sofia. The first thing we did in the presentation was to ask you, what do you think we do in a TIC? And your answers were selling tickets, giving information, maps and something like that, something else, and a physical place, you know, a place that you enter, a window, you ask for info, and you leave. That we knew already, because that's one of the things we wanted to make you see in Sofia, that we do a lot of things, and our job, it's much bigger than all the community, even the tourism industry itself, even our DMOs, they aren't aware of that. So we need this in order to explain which is the importance and the relevance of the tourism information centers, because it's not just giving information. This model is not just a model to show you what we do, but it is as well a model to show you what are we able to do in the future and what have been doing for the previous years since the beginning. And is not related to a physical place. Our job is related to these three big elements that you can see in the graphics, which is knowledge, skills, and trust. Knowledge is something which is completely intangible, but this is our core business. We bring knowledge. We don't have information. Information is on Google. You can Google information. What we provide you is this super local knowledge from people who become ambassadors of that cities. And with this knowledge, we can deliver it through many kinds of channels. So we put the TIC, the physical bricks and mortar place, as one of the different channels that we can deliver this knowledge. So now we can, and thanks to the pandemic, we have boosted, we have accelerated the digitalization of this kind of knowledge delivering. So now we are using any kind of mobile phone messaging applications. We can do web chats. We can do information. We can do touristic information live on video calls. The bricks and mortar TIC has become just one of our portfolio channels. And all this knowledge is not just because we know our destination. We know as well our visitors, because for years we have been the only ones in contact with the visitors before they came, so we can influence our potential visitors to choose our destination. We can help them while they are visiting our destination. And in addition, we can even keep in touch with them, calling all their feedbacks when they leave, so we can retain them, we can gain their loyalty. In any DMO, the only division which is able to be in contact with all the customer journey, that's us.
I think that's a really tremendously important point, which is when we think about destination organizations, the actual physical touch point, the human interaction, where does it happen? And it really does happen at TICs. It really, and I hate to say it, but it's almost the only place it really happens, from the DMO interfacing with its visiting public, isn't it?
It is, totally. And we are very, very proud of that. And we advocate for that. And this knowledge we have is not just because of the knowledge of our destination and our visitors. We have a lot of data. We can have a lot of knowledge that can be leveraged by our DMOs in order to do a better strategy in the future, to know our markets and so on. So we have a lot of different ramifications of our work. And these ramifications are the ones that you can see in that graphic.
So let's unpack that a little bit. At the core of your capabilities, rather than putting you know, handing out information. And you very articulately said information is Google's domain, and more it is. You talked about knowledge, trust, and skills. That's the rethinking of the TIC for me. And Adil, you were there when this was presented in the room. There was a moment when we all looked at it and went, wow. TICs as a navigator, instructor for AI, we're rapidly approaching a world of massive generative AI. And a lot of the generative AI stuff I see coming out of destinations is pretty good, but it hardly speaks to what's here, which is a deep historical understanding of how the consumer asks about, consumes, and shares tourism. So talk to me about the Amsterdam experience. When you look at this, I see a brilliant mind map on how to actually plumb AIs so generative AIs do a better job. What do you see here?
Just to give you a straight example, 15 years ago, we had 8 locations. We had 8 TICs in the city center. We have one right now. It doesn't mean that the TIC is dead. Actually, the TIC is dead in the form of 10 years ago. So that's something I tried to explain in the introduction, kind of. The most adaptive form of running a TIC is being there when you need to be. And if that's if it's a necessity to be in the city center, be there. If it's a necessity to be online, be there. If there's a necessity to be working with AI and an AI platform, which AI platform it can be several ones, that doesn't matter. Because when the internet got invented, we thought the TIC was dead also. So then we had another checkpoint. When Google was invented, we had the TIC was going to die as well. We're still here, guys. So I think it's more of the TIC is still existing, but it's changing platforms the moment you are needed on a different platform. So we're upscaling on online and AI, and we're offscaling on physical presence in stores or locations, but we are upscaling on mobile teams in certain events, for example. So the sentiment changes, kind of.
So when you look at that core, and I mean, it would be very easy again, Pablo, to go back to the old model, and that the core is actually the facility, and that was limiting us. Mm-hmm. When you made that shift to knowledge, skills, and trust, did you feel that it unfettered the TIC? Was there an aha moment when everyone went, wow, if this is what we do, the possibilities are endless?
A little bit of that, yeah.
Well, it was exciting. I mean, it was exciting for me sitting in that room. So are you in Catalonia? Tell me about your TICs. Obviously, you're taking great care of this. You're nurturing it. Tell me about what you're doing.
Well, I'm actually nowadays I'm the manager of promotion of the Catalonia Tourist Office Network. It's a network of more than 230 TICs. So that's...
Wow.
Yeah, that's a little bit. And well, we have a management system, which is each TIC is independent. It belongs to a different municipality. There's some of them are private. And 11 of them are managed by the Catalan government, just directly by us. Mm-hmm. But then we have a network system in order that we provide information, we provide training, and now we provide software in order to collect data. And that's one of the big points that you could see in that constellation model as well: data, information, knowledge. But knowledge in two directions. We bring knowledge, but we keep knowledge as well from our visitors. This knowledge is the one we keep in this statistics technology. For example, the one we have in Catalonia is a very easy online system that every TIC just registers all the visitors they have according to a different criteria. Thanks to that, in the last 3 years, we have data from more than 7 million visitors. And now we are collecting data from the historical database since 2010. And we are collecting on the present. So in a few weeks, we are going to be managing a database for more than about 20 million people who has visited our country in about 13 years. This gives us a lot of power in order to be more strategic focused. We know what the visitors want us. We know what they wanted in the past, and we can establish trends of what are they looking for in the future as well. So,
well, and even beyond that, let's bring back the human element, because that's the data. That's the data side of the TIC. Let's you know, we've under leveraged this data forever. We've had these people in our offices, but the other side of it really is the human side. It's not just the data; it's literally understanding the process in which the consumer asks questions, the best way to deliver an answer, how to package and produce it. You know, it's like, as a television producer used to say, you know, the history of the Olympics doesn't really take 3 30-minute episodes, but a great producer can put it in there. You've got to distill not just the data points with those people. You've got to distill the human interactions, don't you?
Yeah. This is very important. And it's about skills of our teams. We need people who is empathic, people who knows and understands and listen to the visitors. And there's another part of our job, the emotional part. That's maybe the part of my job that I love the most, because we go to the roots, we go to the origins of our job. We are there to serve, to provide service and welcome to our visitors, to make them enjoy the best experience possible in our cities, because we love our cities and we want to share them with the visitors. All the rest, all the graphics, all the constellations are just tools to deliver that. And if you don't have these specific people that stars in your constellation, that they love the city, they love the job, it doesn't matter if they have 3 university degrees and masters and doctorates, it doesn't matter. But there's something that's in its DNA, and thanks to that you can keep servicing these people. And you can do that not only in person, which is the most important, but as well, if you have in the future a metaverse TIC with your avatars, behind that avatar, there has to be a human being as well, you know? Yeah. And this is what makes me more, you know, the romantic part of this business.
Well, and I think, you know, TICs are not dead. Long-lived TICs and great people doing great work in TICs is still the backbone of that. So, Adil, you could take one of your greatest TIC staffers ever, and you can actually sort of begin to plumb an AI for answering questions around that person. Does that idea make you happy?
It does, as long as it works along each other. Because I'm agreeing with Pablo for sure. The people that work in TICs are getting to know people because they want to, not because they have to. And that's really the essential part of being in part of any workforce in any destination in the TIC. And I think as long as it works as a tool instead of it replaces people and it replaces emotion, because I don't believe AI can replace human contact, human emotion, because people are still wanting, are longing actually for human touch. And the emotional value or affirmation from a person that has the knowledge and the expertise is still really something that won't disappear in a long, long, long time, maybe never actually.
So thinking about that, thinking about the last 30 years of TICs and all of the great people that have worked there and told great stories. In some sense, my heart's a little bit sad. We lost some of those stories because we didn't have digital technology. And we count on this as human beings, the power of the narrative to carry the story. But really going forward, we have the power to really take great people's great presentations and work that into the future and save it. So a great example of this, you guys both know Aarhus in Denmark, who I think is doing just a phenomenal job on the idea of local guides and local experts who share their knowledge. When you go to Aarhus and you want to talk about fishing, you don't talk to, you know, a person who knows about fishing. You talk to a sea captain who was at sea for 30 years and ran fishing trawlers and understands every inside piece of the business. When you go to their forestry projects, you get to talk to people who were forest wardens and stuff. It's that capturing of the brilliant articulate part of this that I'm so interested in as well. Is there work on that front, Pablo?
The case of Aarhus proves our theoretical model. I mean, the physical places are not important anymore. The important is how you deliver that knowledge. And that knowledge is in each volunteer of this team of staff, volunteer people in walking around the city of Aarhus. I mean, that's what you need. They have skills. They can talk to other people that they don't know for anything, and they can transmit that love and that knowledge that you couldn't find in any AI or in any database or in any Google search, you know. These skills, this trust. Remember that the third value we have is trust. It's going back to, once again, to the origins. And you go, why the people is traveling? Why the people is interacting with other people? Why in the era of digitalization and artificial intelligence, the people still wants to meet other people? As long as it happens, we are going to be there in somehow. Behind the counter, behind the screen, just face to face. But the knowledge and love for that cities is going to be delivered anyway. So I think that Aarhus is just helping us to understand that we can do our job in many different ways. And in Europe, you know, is a very diverse continent. Things in the north are just very different from the south, east, and west. But there are some things that they're the same. And this is what we want to do in the knowledge group, to put all the common things, everything that makes us European or even world citizens, if you want, to put that in a theoretical place, in a model that would fit anyone, and which is accessible for everyone, and everyone could feel welcome to participate in that. So yes, I'm very happy that we have this example in Europe, in Aarhus, that it brings us a light at the end of the tunnel. So TICs are not dead at all. They are just, it's like the energy. You cannot destroy energy, it just transforms. So we are like energy somehow.
Well, in some sense you are. You've been enduring. It is not, you can't destroy it, you can only transmute it. So to that point, even at City Destinations Network, TIC's rebirth is relatively new sort of idea. This really integrated, complex knowledge, skills, trust-based TIC is new. You're in that space of early adopters, and that's why it's a knowledge group thing in some sense, because there's a lot of promise in TICs and a lot of promise in what they can do. You both had this moment where you started on this journey, and for you both, it's quite a ways back, but you're speaking to almost 900 destinations worldwide right now. As they look at their tourism information systems, I'm not even going to call it centers, as they look at get started, restarted on this journey, Adil, based on your experiences in Amsterdam, what do you say? How do they start? What's the next step? Whether you're in City DNA, whether you're halfway around the world in South America, whether you're a North American, as you rethink tourism information services and concepts, where do you start? What's the first thing you should do? What's next?
Start with the question, what makes you relevant nowadays? So if you're doing what you did 10 years ago when you started off, for example, make sure that you're still relevant for the group. For me, it's always interesting to look at what you bring to the table next to your colleagues that are maybe working in a DMO on online levels, on print levels. Make sure you combine these forces, actually, to talk in energy, like Pablo mentioned, bring these forces to the table and look what you can bring to the table to make sure it's a completely complete story that tells everything, instead of just sending a message to acknowledge your existence, because that's something we have to get rid of. Believe in the power of physical hospitality or physical contact with a visitor, and make sure you involve colleagues that have their own forces as well, to make sure that you have the same story every time you visit a website, the TIC, or open a magazine.
Adil, that's really, really interesting. You added a dimension to this that I do want to talk about. Pablo, there's the TIC. It's there in its physical presence, also there as a key component of the destination organization. But something we haven't talked about is the ability of the TIC to be an absolute focus point on creating a new network of stakeholders. And by now, I'm not just talking about the visitors, but the people in town who represent the businesses and the commercial interests and the social interests and the public interests around tourism. Tell me a little bit about using TICs to strengthen the network inside a destination to make it a stronger, more stratified understanding destination. You've done a lot of work in that area.
Yes, we've done a lot because years ago, TICs were focused only on attending foreigners. But it's true that the local communities need to be here, and as well, they need to be engaged in the development of TICs. And as well, because your local residents, they can be tourists as well in your destination. You never have to forget that. During the pandemics, we realized that many cities didn't have any leaflets in their own language. They have in English and foreign languages, and wow, they did a lot of work in translating their publications and creating new guided tours and activities for the locals, because they were the only visitors they should have during the lockdown. Some other TICs that we have already internal markets, we were already in a better starting position during the pandemics. That would be happening in Spain, for instance, or in France. These are countries that they have a lot of internal visitors. On another side of this, local communities need to be participative as well in what do you offer to the visitors, because every day more in destinations like Barcelona or Amsterdam, which are affected by this, let's say, over-tourism, which is a abstract concept, but let's take that word because it's universally known, local communities need to say their word in order how to improve these situations. In our case, for instance, just as an example, because it's the one I know the best, the Catalan government is moving the traditional TIC from a new placement. And you know where it's going to be placed? In the most overcrowded and over-touristified neighborhood in Barcelona. Why? Well, because it has nothing to do with it. I mean, we are moving that into a venue. We are putting the TIC in a museum of history in the middle of the port. And the port is one of the neighborhoods which is more overcrowded. But the first thing we did was to show the project, to present the project to the representatives of the local community of that neighborhood, which publicly was famous for being very fighting against tourism. You know what happened? They loved the project because we went there, their homes, we went there to explain the project before it was made public. And they want the visitors to discover the neighborhood the way they want to show it.
You also, I know this, just knowing from working with you, you also, though, discerned the pain points for those operators who were negative to tourism, and you showed how the TIC was going to help mitigate that. Talk to us a little bit about that.
What we did is to show them, and they wanted to participate, and they want to make, you know, the new TIC is going to be a place that things will happen. It will have a small auditorium. It will hold, I mean, it's not just a counter. It's a big space where a lot of different things to show to the visitors. And what we want is that the local communities go there and explain their own reality, because love tourism as well.
And they actually do it themselves. The community explains itself.
Exactly. And what we are going to do is to give them the space. They're going to agree with us what date, and they are going to explain the traditions and the festivals and so on their own.
I totally love it.
And even best, because this is the old fisherman's neighborhood, but we still have fishing boats in Barcelona. It's not just the America's Cup super boats. It's just, it's more than that. So we are going to be promoting the fishing tourism with this old fishing boats that they are still working, surviving in the port of Barcelona, thanks to the idea that they brought us. I mean, that was the neighbors that told us you could go them and speak to them, because they are going to be very happy if you tell the visitors that they can go on the boats and discover the fishing activity in the city of Barcelona. So when you go with the truth to your community and explain a honest project, this community gets engaged with you. And this is a super advantage, because these people that could be an enemy becomes an ally. And you get a lot of better knowledge in the end, because you are going to tell a lot of new stories to your visitors that you never knew. And your staff gets involved with that. And this is establishing networks. This is helping the local economy in the end. as well to take advantage of that visitors, of that tourism industry. And it's difficult, it's very hard in a destination like the ours, but you get your benefits and it makes you very happy when you see the results.
You've added two things in the last moment here. We've talked about community engagement and we've talked about authenticity, two key components of TICs, two key outcomes and also assets to be leveraged along the way. All right, we're bumping up against time. I could talk to you guys for hours, but we sort of put a half hour on this one. I'm gonna throw it to both of you. Final words to our peers who are listening about tourism information centers. I will say it, tourism information centers are not dead. Long live tourism information centers. Thanks for that. I'll throw it to you, Adil, first, closing thoughts, and then to you, Pablo.
Closing thoughts for me is, of course, nice to be here, David, but please do make sure that you keep in touch and keep listening to the visitor that's visiting you. Pablo mentioned over-tourism is a big problem in many destinations. A lot of destinations are coming to a moment that they really have to create some plans or measurements to tackle it as well. Just to keep in mind that everyone's welcome in Amsterdam as long as you can behave and visit cultural sites. That's something I want to give to people. And the nuisance is important because sometimes you have the impression that visitors are not welcome in the city. They absolutely are, as long as they contribute and know that there's a lot of cultural heritage within the region.
Thanks for that. Pablo, last word to you.
Well, it's difficult to say anything else from Adil's words, but well, on behalf of the Knowledge Group, I want to say that we love that the industry and we do our best in order to help our partners. And, you know, our association has rebranded it. But I love the old slogan that we had when we were called City Destinations, Marketing City Destinations. Sorry, I'm
European cities.
Sorry. Okay. It's I have a brand crossing. Is that it was called Meet, Share, and Grow. These three words gave us a lot of sense. And I miss them because, well, I think they speak a lot. Tourism is about human relations. And tourism information centers are the temples of these connections, both physically or virtually, is where the magic is done. And thanks to these people, both the ones that they're waiting for the visitors and the ones that they're entering this small temple, as long as it happens, it keeps happening, we are going to be there helping them to do as best as we can.
I love that. I think we should get a placard that says meet, share, and grow, and we should hand it out to all our TIC partners. Okay, Valencia in October, next iteration of City DNA's fall conference. Can I look forward to a really cool presentation from TICs again?
No pressure.
No pressure. Okay. All right. Real pleasure to have you both. Thank you so much on a personal level for being volunteers with Knowledge Groups. This is the kind of engagement and involvement that moves this industry forward. It's great to work with you both. It's great to work with the City Destination Alliance. Come back and tell us more. And thanks again for being here.
Thank you.